Okay, I'm going to turn the recording on real quick. All right, so today is Thursday, April 11th, and this is the 8 p.m. Eastern Time PSS call, and this week we are talking about championing and celebrating, which is fabulous. And so, Rosie, just so you know, after everyone kind of checks in, then we go back around and we take aim, and taking aim is kind of our focus for the call, but it can be your focus for the week, it can be your focus for the month or for the year, but really what we're trying to do is find the change that you want to see. We try to take aim on something that's not necessarily a system or a structure, but the results, basically, the change that you want to see. And it can be kind of challenging to figure out what to take aim on. Some people take aim on like the morning routine or on homework headaches or something kind of macro like that. And some people just take aim on whatever's top of mind that day. And it doesn't necessarily have to be related to the child that brought you to us. It can be related to whatever's going on in your life, because sometimes it helps to focus on us. And it makes it easier for us to focus on our kids when we know that we're doing everything we can and that we're taking care of ourselves. So hopefully that's not too terribly confusing. But if it is, don't worry. We will get you through it.
No, it's not. I'm just curious, is taking aim supposed to be around the topic that we're talking about or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. It can be, but it doesn't have to be.
Okay.
And sometimes it just kind of works out that it all ends up being related, and sometimes it doesn't, and that's okay.
Okay. I got one more question. Is taking aim on the – I'm still not quite sure about the differences between the two areas. Like there's the wheel of life, and then there's also like the areas that you've got in the parenting action model, which look like school, emotions, logistics, relationship.
Right.
Is that one or the other one?
In terms of what we're focusing on or how you take aim?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so good question. So the wheel of emotions, schoolwork, organization, logistics, relationships, that kind of stuff, those are the ways typically in which ADHD impacts our lives or impacts our kids' lives. So yeah, you can take aim on one of those things. There's a lot under each kind of headline. So hopefully within that, there's something that's been bugging you or something that you want to focus on. And then we use whatever that is to take aim. And then we work through the parent action model. But we kind of break it down and go a little slower than you probably want us to go. And because we're trying to figure out exactly what's going on, right? And throw in some positive parenting and making sure that the brain is activated and that we have the right expectations before we try to figure out what our next steps are. So it's all kind of meshed together. So once we figure out what we're taking aim on, then we usually kind of become a detective and figure out what's really going on.
And
we use all those other little parts, the parenting positively, the shifting expectations, activating the brain and systems and structures to put together our plan. And then once we have the plan put together, then we kind of put it into effect. And if it works, great. And if not, we kind of go back and tweak it a little bit. And then we just keep kind of rinsing and repeating until the next thing comes up or until we decide to move on to the next thing. Does that make sense?
Kind of. Okay.
Kind of. Okay. Bear with me. It will all make sense in a bit. I promise.
Okay.
Someone has joined us.
Yes, hi.
Hi, who's this?
Maria.
Hi, Maria. From Atlanta. Do you want to check in and celebrate real quick?
Oh, yes. So, oh, goodness. Let me figure out what I'm going to celebrate. getting through... a spring break with a senior parent and a teenager. Juggling that at the beach.
That is worth celebrating for sure.
It is. It was wonderful, but there were some definite ups and downs. But I just, you know, tried to keep everything positive and everybody, you know, moving happy in the right direction, and lost composure a couple times, but regrouped pretty quickly. So I thought it was a good trip.
Awesome. And that's the
important
part,
right?
I mean,
yeah.
Good.
Yes.
Okay, good. I think it would be unrealistic to hope that we could get through a spring break with any of our kids, really, without losing our temper at least once. So the fact that it was only one time and you brought it back together so quickly is absolutely something to celebrate. That's great. Thank you.
It was probably more than one time, but
one notable time.
But when you hear something out of your child and they just seem a little less than grateful and happy, you're just trying to dig and why are we not just happy with this time, you know? So you know, and an only child, you know, like if you have more than one or they bring a friend and they kind of keep occupied a little bit and they're happier. But when you have those three generational gaps, it makes it more complex to keep everybody very happy. To me, I'm just happy
sure.
being by the beach, you know, so
yeah,
like I'm there and I'm like, oh, this is wonderful, you know, and, couldn't be happier. Mm-hmm. So, but no, it was overall wonderful. So I'm very grateful to have that time.
Good. Thank you for sharing that. All right, let's do some aim taking. Who wants to take aim first?
I will. It's Rosie.
Go for it.
I'd really like some feedback on this because I feel a little bit confused about all the bits, but I'm going to say like take aim for the week. And I think what I'd like to, the change I want to see is in myself. And I really want to shift into believing in my daughter. We've had a lot of focus on problem solving. And, you know, I often think that, you know, I'm a therapist, so I like to fix things. I like to fix problems. And so it's easy for me to, you know, think that I'm being supportive by fixing her problems. And I think in doing that, the focus has been kind of on an illness model rather than a just delighting there's nothing to fix model. So I really want to try and shift in my inner core to just delight.
I love that. You did that perfectly, Rosie. Absolutely perfectly. That's exactly what we're looking for. That's awesome.
Okay.
And is it delight in all aspects, or is it delight in response to certain things, or just an ever-present delight?
Well, I think maybe it's – sometimes I have to convince myself that I believe in her, and that probably sounds awful, but that's more a reflection of myself, not her. So it's more about me really getting behind the idea of, you know, just – believing in someone and believing that they're believing that we just kind of focusing on the things that she does do well. Like, she's incredibly resilient and she tries so hard, and to kind of remind myself to talk about those things.
So it's also to some extent about, you know, championing and celebrating, but maybe also having realistic expectations.
I think I have those anyway. It's more about getting behind the realistic expectations in terms of believing that that's great.
Oh, good. Got it. Okay, perfect. We can absolutely work with that.
Okay.
Thank you. Who's next?
I can go next. This is Raghu.
Yeah.
So I think one area that we're having trouble, me and my wife are having trouble with our eldest is with usage of electronics. Normally we've been lopping all of the screen time in one category. So it doesn't matter whether it's a television, phone, tablet, whatever, right? So off late, the struggle has been with my daughter about, okay, how much is enough? So we were having limits on the phone time. So she doesn't care about television anymore. It's just all the phone stuff. But you know, unchecked, it can go on for hours, like 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours a day. This week is spring break week. So, you know, I've been a bit more lax, but I think what I really want is, a better way of, you know, working with her. It's a bit like we talked about in our last session of getting her buy-in. I've tried that, but wasn't really that successful. I mean, it's like from her perspective, she believes that, you know, it's sort of her right to manage her own time, and that if I tell her that, you know, oh, okay, that's enough, it's a, like an affront to her sensibilities, right? Like impeding on her in many ways. So yeah, so I don't know. I guess the strategies to help me cope with that.
So the change you want to see is what, her transitioning off of electronics when you ask her to, or?
Yeah, her limiting herself. She kind of sold me on this thing. Oh, don't put any electronic locks on it. Like, you know, as soon as the time's up, like parental controls on it. Like, let me handle it. And I've let her handle it, and I've not been very happy with the result. So.
Gotcha.
So the result I'd like to see is like she's able to limit herself without me having to put like parental controls on it, and you know, I don't want this to be a tug of war, and I really am longing for the days where now we didn't have a personal phone in our pocket.
Yeah. So, you know, considering that the child, the teenager with ADHD is 3 to 5 years behind their same age peers, and knowing that kids with ADHD don't have that kind of internal mechanism that tells them to do things, and that they need external reminders, how realistic is it that she's going to arrive at that place on her own in the next couple weeks or even months?
Yeah, I see your point. She's like 13 plus, so I mean, if I go back 3 years, that's about a mental stage of about 10 to 11 year old. But I mean, so if that's the case, then I should not be allowing her at all, right? I should be very prescriptive in how she's allowed to use her screen time.
I think maybe it's a combination of both. Let's kind of hold there for a second and let everybody else take aim, and then we'll circle back. How's that sound?
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay, cool. Maria, would you like to go next?
Well, I feel like we have the same kid.
We all do.
Listening to the man that just spoke, because my daughter is, you know, really loves her electronics, and I've really kind of had to come down on her about, you know, her usage, because she's not prioritizing, and you know, she'll say, don't be a helicopter parent, mom, you know, I'll be off of it, and I come in and she's watching something. Well, I had to take a break, you know, I'm tired, I'm bored. And I said, I'm telling her, you need to, when you get, decide which homework assignment. But last night she had like 6 assignments that she had to do. They just piled the homework on, which they love to do. And so she had a ton of homework, and I said, okay, you know, no electronics, and I mean none in between breaks. I mean, until you are finished, we don't look at the phone, period. And and I said, that's the way it has to be. And she's like, okay. Now, I didn't take it out of her room in case she needed to, you know, like ask a question about an assignment, because they're doing some group assignments. So I gave her that bit of leeway. But then when I checked in with her, she had been on it. Well, I'm just on it for 5 minutes. And I said, remember, you're not doing that. I said, you need to shift to a different assignment. If you get bored.
Just for the purposes of taking aim, are we taking aim also on electronics then? Or are we, just because we have
other
people on the call who need to
that, because I'm not happy with some of the electronic situations. And she's a good kid, and she doesn't go where she's not supposed to, and she's not on a lot of social media or anything like that. That's pretty forbidden, but she'd have it if I let her, but she's not. So just the amount of time and managing her time with her homework, and getting off of it, transitioning quicker. And everything that you were saying to him, I'm like saying yes to me as well. So it seemed as good a time as any to take aim on that.
Yeah. So I'm going to push you a little bit harder there just because I want to make sure, because there's a lot in what you just said there at the end. Is it managing her time well? Is it getting off electronics when you ask her to? Is it finding a better balance?
Probably finding a better balance, because I do feel like I don't want to be an all or nothing kind of person. I don't want to be, you know, I used to be more, you know, well, you're going to get, you know, this consequence, that consequence. And I'm trying to say yes more, reframe my answers so that I'm not being negative. And I feel like I've made a good bit of headway with that.
Good.
So I just want to take aim on balancing how she manages, you know, and balances things.
Okay.
And my reaction.
Thank you.
When it's
now you just threw me a curveball.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, no, you're fine. We'll leave it at that for now. That's awesome. All right. Townley, did you join us?
Hi, I did. Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's
welcome.
Thank you. Sure. This is only my second call, and my first one, there was nobody else, so this is my first group call. So,
good. How exciting.
So nice to hear some other voices.
Yeah,
I think I can ditto all the things about electronics as well, you know, as a challenge, but that's, you know, I think I'm kind of working on that, so that's not really my aim, I guess. But the looking at the championing and celebrating in the handbook, it was interesting. We just had parent conferences, and my son, who's 12 and a half, is definitely challenged with doing the tasks he's supposed to do when the adults want him to do it. And I'm managing that pretty well at home, but at school, that's an issue. And so and I'm a teacher, so it's also this really interesting dynamic, because I'm a teacher talking to teachers, and it makes it a little odd, but trying to help his two teachers, who are really fabulous men and whose hearts are in the right place, but they're frustrated and just seeing, you know, noncompliance and avoidance. And I was trying to explain to them some of the things that are right here in the handbook, in terms of looking for some of the positive things, you know, so they were really focusing on, he didn't finish this assignment, and he didn't finish this assignment, and he didn't do this. And I was like, okay, but when you told me about that, what I saw was he actually was attempting to do the assignment. He went to where you asked him to go. He started to do what you wanted him to do, and then he got distracted, but he did the first couple of things. Like, he has to know that you see that, because if you're only seeing what he doesn't do, then he's done. And they heard
so for
me,
taking but, aim are we taking aim on working with the teachers, or
well I think I think I can keep giving them the information I'm giving them, but I guess there's still, I guess my aim would be more ways to help my son, more strategies for getting unstuck, like for working through I don't want to do this task, or, you know, sort of like the man was saying about just getting off electronics. You know, if we want to use that for an example, I don't want to because it's my right to not do this, whether it's electronics or a task or an assignment, my son can definitely take that to you can't make me, like, it's my life. So,
right.
You know, I'm stuck, and I don't want to do this, so I'm not going to do it. So getting unstuck, I guess, would be ideas for that.
Okay. I'm thinking, I'm trying to decide, because it's probably not realistic to, you know, to expect that our kids are going to want to do everything that we want them to hear that they're supposed to do, you know, pleasantly and happily. Just in your mind, you know, pick kind of one area just so we can set ourselves up for success. Cool?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Did we catch everybody? Back to my little panel thing. Yeah, I think everybody went. Jump in now if you didn't. All right. So, championing and celebrating. So, Rosie, just so you know, this is the part where we talk about what was in the PSS workbook. And then I like to keep it pretty interactive because I like to hear what you guys are thinking. And sometimes that's the coolest part of the call is to know, as we've already kind of touched on, that what happens in your house is happening in everybody else's house too. So it's nice to know that there's a whole group of folks who have the same normal that you do. And then after we've kind of worked through the topic of the day, then we work back around to the things that everyone took aim on. And hopefully we can get back to everybody and kind of work through what we were taking aim on at the beginning, and then we do the checkout part. So, I mean, the topic for this week is really straightforward, but it's also really hard to do sometimes. Championing and celebrating, parenting positively. There's always something to celebrate. Tell me, that was a great example of finding something good to focus on instead of the negative. You know, we used to talk about, you know, taking our kids to church on Sunday and how we always had to leave, you know, about halfway through. And then someone pointed out that, yeah, but this time he made it a full 30 minutes. You know, last week he only made it 25 minutes. And when we started focusing on the successes, it made life a whole lot easier. And it makes our kids feel better too, right? We know that our kids don't respond to negative parenting or to negative consequences. And so anytime we can celebrate them and find something positive to say, it's huge. And we all know that it takes between 6 and 8 positive comments to offset 1 negative comment. So please don't do the math in your head because it'll be depressing and it may be frustrating to try to find 6 or 8 or 11 positive comments every day to offset the negative comments that our kids hear. And Tammy, also to your point, I mean, our kids get a lot of negativity from a lot of different people. You know, they know they're different and they know that they're struggling and not everybody handles it as well as we do. And sometimes we don't handle it well either, right? So anything that we can do to focus on championing, celebrating, finding the good stuff to talk about is going to make a huge difference in the way we see them and the way they see the world. And we talk a lot about the solutions being in the successes. And, you know, I have a child that is currently failing math. Actually, I have 2 children that are currently failing math. One child is failing math because she has missed a big chunk of the learning, and she's working really hard with the tutor to get that grade up. And so if she can get her grade up to a D or a C, and even if it stays at an F, I don't think it will, but if she can get it up to a D or a C, I am totally fine with that because I know she's working her butt off to get that back up there. My other child that's failing math is failing because he hasn't bothered to study. And so we're taking a very different approach to his path. And so, you know, I think that, you know, every kid is different, certainly, but every kid has something that they are doing well that we can celebrate. So I can celebrate my daughter, you know, working her butt off to try to get that grade up. I'm not going to celebrate that with my son who's failing, but there's lots of other things that I can celebrate with him on, and share with him and praise him for.
I like that
saying
idea.
At the beginning. Yeah.
Sorry, I like
you were talking about.
Finding things in their week that they are doing well.
Yeah. I told the story, I think it was last week, maybe been a couple weeks ago, about my daughter got upset one time because we got really excited and we praised my son like over and over again and fell all over ourselves to tell him what a great job he did of like picking up his wet towel off the floor and hanging it up, and how, you know, we don't even notice that she gets herself up and gets dressed and goes to school every day and makes it on time every day. And I was like, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. That is awesome because that's hard to do. You know, I mean, there's been, I'm sure you guys remember the days when you got to drag your kid out of bed, and maybe some of you still are doing that, you know, so the fact that she takes herself to school every day is absolutely something to celebrate and something that we had completely missed championing with her. So there's always something to find. What's coming up for you guys?
Well, I, just as you said that, I think you're right. I think I get so focused on the problems, but she is, the last 3 days, she's got up independently. She hasn't got up independently mm-hmm. for months, but she got up independently
wow.
in the last 3 days. She's eating healthier snacks, and
awesome.
She's working a little bit with us on her sleep. But my challenge is how do I celebrate those things with her? Because so I noticed with her that if you say, like, oh, hey, you're doing such a good job of this, I think it touches the bruise even more, because it's like, oh, God, if I was typical, you wouldn't even have to, you know. So I'm wondering about a more subtle way to be able to acknowledge that, which doesn't sound like false praise.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, yeah, that's the difference. And particularly our teenagers, you know, they can sense insincerity a mile away. And there's that toddler mentality too, right? If my parents think it's good, then I better not do it. Or I better do something different.
Yeah, but she might say, oh, yay, I got up independently. You know, how lame, right? You know, so she may not value it the way I value it. So I'm just wondering about ideas about being able to acknowledge it. She may.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, you know this, the thing about teenagers is that they're still listening, even if they give us kind of a snarky reaction or roll their eyes or whatever, they're still hearing what we say.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'd rather err on the side of saying it than not.
Yeah.
You can also make it about gratitude. You can also make it about, you know, hey, thanks for getting up on time today, or hey, thanks for, you know, whatever it is. Or I noticed that you ate more of those snacks. You know, would you like me to get more at the store? Just kind of acknowledging that you noticed it. In a good way can make a huge difference. Or maybe it's in a text, you know, particularly with, again, with our teenagers, I found that if you can remove yourself, so it's like one step back, it doesn't always work, but if you're not saying it, also if you're concerned about it coming across as insincere, sometimes it helps to do it in a text or an email, or, you know, post a note on our door. Or,
that's a good idea.
One step removed. Yeah.
How do you have so much wisdom around teenagers?
I don't have any wisdom.
Oh, you sound like you do, though, because I wouldn't have, I wouldn't have known that, but you know that.
You know, it's just, I want to say trial and error, but I have five kids. My husband and I have five kids, and three of them have ADHD, and four of the five are teenagers and above. And so we've had some life experiences, and yeah, and I'm an adult with ADHD, and, you know, in my coach training, too, you know, we go through lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Just experience. But, again, I don't want to offer you too many solutions or strategies, because we don't always know what's behind what's going on with our kids, right? So there may be something else going on, and I don't want to say, hey, do this, when really that may not be even an accurate representation of what they're doing or why they're doing what they're doing, because we have to kind of dig down into that before we can put a solution in place. But those are things that have worked for us in the past, so I just throw those out there.
Sure.
Yeah. Who else? What's coming up? Maybe ways to raise your kids? Yeah, go ahead. Is that me? Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we're just talking about, she is, you know, getting so much better at getting out the door in the morning. It's still tough to wake her up. She's hard to wake up. And, you know, on multiple times, you know, I'll set multiple alarms. But she even wants to set, like, she wants her phone in her room so that she can set her alarms. And honestly, the kids sleep so hard, she'll sleep right through them. But between her setting her alarm, the alarm going off, you know, us doing the radio, and then my alarm, and me coming in and turning on the lights and everything, it's a multi-step process for her. But she really, she's gotten so much better at it. And then, you know, getting out the door, sometimes she'll be like, Mom, come on, we're going to be late. You know, it's like, I'm not the one. She's telling me more than I'm telling her, you know. Part of that is that I spend so much time trying to get her up that I'm not taking time for myself. So, but she's just so much more aware, you know, of time now than she was before. And
that's huge.
So it is. It is. And I do tell her, but I think I don't tell her enough. So I think that I really need to celebrate that and let her know how much I appreciate her. Once she does get up and get going, you know, it all goes back to, you know, balance. So I say, you know, you got to get that homework done so you can get to bed earlier and get adequate sleep. And when you're not getting that, then it's harder mm-hmm. to get up in the morning. More time is spent. So try to break it down for her, you know, in that
sure.
way. That vicious cycle. Yeah. But, you know, with a kid with ADHD and, you know, just takes her longer to, you know, to do her work and, you know, mm-hmm. transition sometimes. So she's super conscientious. And I tell her, I love that you're conscientious. You know, I think it's wonderful. And I want her to continue to be that way. Mm-hmm. But not so much that she won't go to bed. Like, she'd rather stay up than, you know, get a bad grade.
Yeah.
Can I challenge you to not throw the butt in?
Yes, I don't. I do not say but when I'm talking to
okay.
her.
Okay, good.
Just I'm a sure. however, and
yeah.
My concern is, and I'll tell her, my concern is this. If you see me upset, my concern is not, I'm not mad at you, and you're not doing anything wrong. That, mm-hmm. you know, my concern is that you're not getting adequate sleep. And
yeah.
and she recognizes she needs to get more sleep. But it's, you know, getting her, I actually think I can refine what I want to take aim on with, you know, with her. Is, but I don't know if I can get her buy-in on it because it just takes her a long time to do things. Is getting her to bed at night. Because I think if she gets her to bed earlier at night, gets ready for bed earlier and everything, then she can get better rest and get up easier.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe that I she doesn't see the wrong. Connection. You know, maybe part of that now and not now with the ADHD brain that, you know, it's hard to put together going to bed early with waking up more rested when there's still things.
I think she puts it together. I just think that it's hard for her to get everything done that she needs to get done. And,
yeah.
you know, and so I told her, I said, you're getting great grades. I said, even if the grade was a little lower, I said, I think you're doing so awesome that if it wasn't, you know, an A, if it was a B, I just want you to get better rest because I'm more concerned about your health than your grades.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, she's concerned about it. That doesn't, you know, like, she can't, she attaches, like, her self-esteem to her grades very much, you know. And so I just want to balance things. So maybe we're back to the balance. And
yeah, back to balance.
I hear you.
I was going to say, this is Townley. I can connect a little bit to that in the sense that, well, one, I'm jealous that your daughter wants to work hard to do well because my son's on the opposite
that's
end.
A pretty big deal, right?
Like, no, I don't have to do this. I already know everything I need to know. But that idea of, like, not being able to let go of it to go to bed, right, is kind of what I was talking about with my son being stuck. It's on different things,
yeah.
but you know, for her to be able to say, okay, look, I've done a good job and I can put this aside and go to bed now because that's important. Like, whatever the thing is, that transitioning off of whatever they're stuck on is obviously part of the issue, right? But how, you know, any great phrases for helping that let this go and put it aside for now.
Yeah.
I wonder about
I've tried that.
I wonder about.
I didn't try this.
Let's go one at a time.
Sorry?
Go ahead.
Oh, I wonder about, you know, I wonder about, you know, just in terms of helping them shut things down, would it work to kind of set a timer to say, you know, you're working really hard, and then at, you know, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, whenever, it's time to shut your brain down for the night. So kind of get yourself ready for that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So I think it depends on what is keeping them awake or what it is that is kind of driving that inability to put things aside and kind of shift into sleep mode. I mean, we know that 90% of kids and adults with ADHD have challenges, you know, sleeping. It just is. It's the way it is. And that good sleep hygiene
can help with that. But sometimes it's difficult to do that because it involves not, you know, stopping or getting off electronics, all electronics, even like reading books on your phone, you know, an hour before bedtime or even 2 hours before bedtime. And that's difficult for our kids who need to finish their homework. But it could also be that it's about a perfectionism piece, right? That it's not good enough yet. I need to make sure it's good enough. Or maybe I've delayed starting because I'm afraid I'm not going to do it good enough. So now that I've started, it's already 11 o'clock at night. And so that's why we try to dig down on what's behind what we're seeing so we can figure out what the next steps are. Because the timers work great, absolutely. For kids that respond well to timers, they're awesome. But if the challenge is that they're, you know, their perfectionism is kicking in, then the timer's not going to really help, if that makes sense. It works for some kids, but not for others. Yeah.
Yeah. Except that we've used it for my daughter for that reason, because she will just go on and on and on. Well, yes, it does, because we say set a timer. And we at the moment, the strategy is we're going for time, not productivity. So we're going for, rather than complete this task, we're saying work on it for an hour.
Interesting. And so how do you help her with that transition? I'm just curious. What is it that allows her to stop when the timer goes off and move on to the next thing?
Probably because she doesn't want to do it in the first place.
No.
I mean, she doesn't have she has the son's problem, not the other daughter's problem. I mean, she would probably not study at all unless she was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Okay.
And so in that
I will put it off to the last minute. And like,
are you sure you didn't get this assignment last week?
Yeah.
Mom, I'm like,
ADHD brain. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, it's the now, not now, whole mentality of it, and I don't want to do it now. I want to, you know, I want to have my spring break or starting a book she has to read, and it's a group assignment, and she started it, and she's like, oh, this is so boring. She just had a really hard time getting into it. Now she's very much into it, and I'm going, hey, you need to turn off your light and go to bed.
Yeah.
And you know, she's like, well, I have to do. And I said, well, if you would have started it last week, like Mom suggested, like one chapter a day, two chapters a day.
How does I totally so work? Does that work well? Or she was
fine.
Yeah,
you know, it's after the fact, you know? So it's not like the next time, I don't know that the next time is any different if it's something that's hard for her to get started, you know?
Yeah. And some ADHD brains, that's a strategy that works for them. The pressure of waiting to the last minute is what activates their brain sometimes. And that's, I mean, for some kids, that's their coping mechanism. You know, they perform well under that. They need just that amount of stress and angst to actually get it done. It may not be the ideal way to get it done. Yeah.
That's my eldest son, definitely. And he's lucky because he's intelligent. So he can, for the most part, get away with it. Whereas my daughter does not have the same cognitive capacity, and she can't. Because it's disastrous for her, and then it becomes like the unraveling, the great unraveling.
Yeah.
So it definitely doesn't work for her in that regard, right?
Gotcha.
Yeah. And mine has a lot of cognitive ability, but she also will unravel and just melt down over just and she did more of that when she was just younger, but I still see it now, you know, with her. When it's just so much, and then she gets kind of, you know, anger built up, and I think the teachers, they don't care about us and this and that. And I said, this is how it is. I said, they do care about you, but this is what they're told to do, and so they're having to do it. And I think some care more than others, you know, but some are just like, hey, it's seventh grade, deal with it, you know, and then others are like,
seventh grade.
Yeah. So
Raghu, you've been
quiet.
Are you okay?
Oops,
sorry.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm listening. I'm listening to all the parents and you converse, and I can definitely, you know, there are many parallels to my own relation with my own daughter, but like I'm a little lost about the exact point. Are we trying to, like, I mean, what are we targeting right now? In our
conversation. We were looking for ways to champion and celebrate our kids, and we kind of devolved, I think, a little bit. So thank you for helping us get back on track. But based on
I can tell you, I champion.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, champion. I always tell her, how much I value her abilities and how I feel she's, so great and so strong for just her sticking with it and persevering through it and wanting to do well and telling her how much better of a student she is than I ever was at this age. And letting her know how wonderful I think that she is, in wanting to do well and really doing it at whatever cost, And I've done the timer thing. I have to say that, I'll say, okay, you have to, wrap it up in 30 minutes. And, and then I'll count down. I'll go, okay, we have 5 minutes. We have to wrap down. Okay. And then it's like she hears me. But when I go in to say, okay, time to wrap it up, she'll go, oh, my gosh, no, I can't. I've got to do this. I can't, I can't get a bad grade. And I'm like, we said that this is what we were going to do. I mean, I've tried to run roughshod over her and say, you will shut it down because that's it. We're done. And she just... She has a complete unravel.
It doesn't go well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It does not go well.
Reg, go ahead.
Yeah, we have a similar situation, that 9 p.m. ideally would be awesome for all the kids to switch everything off and, get in the next 15 minutes between 9 and 9:15, get into their bed. But especially with my daughter, it never happens. She'll keep all her homework till the last minute, and then it's a struggle to because she has a bit of that perfectionism, and so she wants to do everything correctly, and she wants to complete it, she wants to get a good grade, but at the same time she'll struggle to schedule her time such that she's not running into that 9 p.m. deadline, so while I'm appreciative of her doing well with her homework and trying to keep up with her grades, but like some of the other parents, I worry that she doesn't get enough sleep because it affects, I know how badly it affects me, and for a younger child, not getting enough sleep, instead of sleeping by 9, now you're sleeping by 10:30, might go up to 11, and then there's a domino cascading effect for the next day.
That's hang on, I'm going to stop you guys right there. Just a second. I want to make sure that we circle back around to everybody before we run out of time today. So, Reg, let's stay with that for a second. When with the 9 p.m. deadline, when you're giving her reminders that her deadline is coming up or the time to transition is coming up, what does that look like? Do you yell up at her? Do you go upstairs and or wherever she's doing her homework and get her attention? How does that typically, how do you handle those reminders and moments?
I mean, I think it's mixed on different days. It's different because, sometimes I'll be saying, oh, you got 1.5 hours left. Oh, you got 45 minutes left. And, there'll be rolling of the eyes a little bit. And and we're now at the deadline and it's not over. And now there'll be a bargaining session with no, I just need 15 minutes. I just need 15 minutes, and of course it's never 15 minutes. It's more than that. So, it's rare for us to hit that deadline, So again, as I said, I'm grateful that she's doing reasonably well with her grades, but I'm concerned about the recurring pattern of not, despite knowing the next day it's the same thing's gonna happen, right? But we'll want to enjoy first and do homework last.
Okay. So knowing that that's gonna happen every night. What is going to be a way that you can champion and celebrate her while still helping her to honor the timeline?
Yeah.
To find success.
Right. So let's say she does miraculously, finish without too much prodding. I mean, maybe I promise her that I'll take her out or something, or maybe sweet treat or, I don't know, some bribe, I guess.
is it, I mean, if it's purely homework that, you know, that she's focusing on, that she wants to stay, you know, kind of with her electronics to get done, I mean, is that a method that she's going to respond to, do you think?
Not really, but like one of the other things we have done is with my Wi-Fi network at home, I have set it up such that at 9 p.m. it shuts off, right? Initially, this was a big struggle, but you know, so she won't get any internet connectivity, and for a lot of the homeworks, they need that, right? So.
Right.
So initially she was, you know, fighting with us about it, like, give me 15 minutes more, give me half an hour more. But then, for a few days, we just said, no, 9 o'clock it is, and that's it. We're not going to give you more time. You got to plan better. So now all the things that don't require internet connectivity seem to be getting done before 9. But then if there was a reading assignment or something, so now that's going past 9. So some success there, but not fully.
Yeah. So is it about helping her prioritize, do you think? Or is it about, I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. You know, helping her prioritize her time? Or do you think there's something else going on there?
Yeah. That is really what it is. Like how to get her to prioritize her time such that, you know, she can reach that 9 p.m. spot. And then she's in a comfortable spot. She can, like, wind down easily. And then she's not having that tension, oh, I got to get up in the morning and finish something.
Rego, did you say that you allow her, she's allowed to play first and then do her homework?
Yeah. I mean, I'm usually not at home at that time. And, you know, she does it. She does it anyway. So I can't really force her to... you know, switch it around. I have not been able to convince her to switch it around.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's see. Who else has joined us? I just noticed that we've got another person here that I've not heard from.
Hi, it's Julie from Atlanta.
Hey, Julie. How are you?
Sorry, I joined in late, but I'm happy to be here.
Good. We're glad you're here. What are your thoughts about championing and celebrating and all that you've heard so far?
I'm celebrating the fact that I made it on this call. So that's good. I know it's not about me. I think it's just the point. I came in right in the middle, and I just talked to my husband. I can't even articulate. I'm just a little exhausted, but I'm really appreciating just being here. And and it's very timely. It's perfect.
Good. I'm glad. Well, I won't put you on the spot then.
Sometimes it's just really hard to.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's hard that sometimes it's such a good thing to practice. I need practice. So.
Yeah, absolutely. We all do. Yeah.
But that's the best place. It works well when I can. So I appreciate the reminder.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Someone was getting ready to say something.
Yeah, I was going to ask a question. In the book here, it says sometimes championing is about believing in them even when they aren't ready to believe in themselves.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah.
And I wondered, like, you know, about some ideas about how we could do that maybe.
Hmm.
You know, like.
Oh, what do you think?
I think I struggle with this.
Yeah.
I really struggle with this. I guess I feel like, you know, I have a lot of fear. I have a lot of worry. Right. So it's
sure.
You know, I don't have a lot of conviction for myself that, you know, things are going to be good, mm-hmm. and I wish I did have more. Mm-hmm. So I'm just mm-hmm, curious mm-hmm. about how other people do that who are able to do that.
So I think sometimes it's about setting realistic expectations, because I find that if
and not catastrophizing, you know, so staying in today, mm-hmm. staying in this year, and trying not to fast forward too much, and remembering that our kids are 3 to 5 years behind their same age peers, or maybe giving myself permission to not freak out until, you know, they have, their brains have matured and they've caught up with their neurotypical counterparts. And if they're still not able to do X, Y, Z at that point, then I have given myself permission to flip out or catastrophize. And chances are by the time that we get there and our kids catch up with their same age peers, everything's going to be fine. But a lot of times it's about that realistic expectation. And then asking yourself, how is it serving you and your child to focus on the negative or to focus yeah. on how things might go wrong? I'm not saying yeah. that you have to be like this, you know, sunshine, rainbow, unicorn all the time. I'm just saying, you know, if you're not able to find something that's truly positive, are you able to find something that's just neutral, something that's not yeah. necessarily good or bad?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I can connect to that and appreciate you saying that too. The idea of catastrophizing or learning not to, and that, you know, whenever those moments are, so, you know, the thing I was trying to focus on was getting unstuck. And I do better.
Yeah.
We all do. He and I do better when, I don't know if any of you have tried Love and Logic or taken any of those
yeah.
classes, but we did when
sure.
my son was younger. And one of the phrases that I didn't understand when we were taking it then was, you know, you just have to go brain dead. And I'm like, how do you go brain dead when you're trying to solve this problem as a parent, right? But
mm-hmm.
what I just realized, like January, February, like just recently, was in that moment when I can't get my son to stop doing his electrical project because we need to leave and go to school, or do, you know, when he's stuck on something and I need him to move to something else, I'm panicking because
uh-huh.
in my head I'm thinking, if he can't stop and put this down now, then how is he ever going to have a job, right? And if he can't
yeah.
do what I'm asking him to do, how is he
right.
going to be successful at school, right? And my brain's doing all that. And
mm-hmm.
so that idea of going brain dead, of like, okay, I just need to be completely present in this moment and not
yes.
go there, because all it does is make me upset, and then I can't,
yes.
then I'm frustrated, and then he gets more, right? It just totally spins it. So
exactly.
trying to just be that totally, okay, right now he's stuck and he
mm-hmm.
needs my help to get unstuck.
Yeah.
And it is going to be okay, right? Like I can't kill myself now for what might or may not be in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
we got to get through this moment.
If we
get through this moment, then I can celebrate we got through this moment. You know, if we bring it back to there, then I can say, okay, we worked through that. That was really hard.
Yeah.
But we came out the other side.
We did it.
And now we're ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And doesn't that feel a lot better than you're
yes.
going to have a job?
Yes. yes.
Yeah. There's nothing for you in that space, and there's everything for you in the other space.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Awesome, awesome. Oh, shoot. That's almost time. Darn it. Okay. Let's see. Oh, hell. Sorry. All right. So at the end of every session, we have, I always say 5 questions. I've been saying 5 questions for like 4 years, but there's really only 4. So the 4 questions that we ask at the end of each session are, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity, my aha, my takeaway from today? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So, you know, it may be realistic to say that we're going to shut the Wi-Fi off it or the whatever off it at 9 o'clock. But first of all, do I know how to do that? And second of all, am I ready for what the next steps are going to be? And so we want to make sure that if you're setting yourself up for success, so that if you want to put a plan in place or you have an action step that you would like to focus on or implement, that you're more likely to be successful. And for those of you who are new on the call or new to this program, don't worry. We are not going to hold you accountable, at, you know, 2 weeks from now when you dial in, unless you want us to, because, you know, we're busy people and this thing is hard, and I don't want you guys to have other things to beat yourselves up about. So, you know, the action step is for you, but we do want to help you be successful if we can. But again, we're not going to hold you accountable unless you want us to. So real quick, I would love for everyone to do a quick checkout, and I know we didn't get back to everyone in terms of what you took aim on, but trust me on this, but a lot of times the magic happens between the sessions. I know that sounds kind of woo-woo and dorky, but it really does. So just be prepared for that, and don't worry if we haven't wrapped everything up in a nice bow during this hour together. So the questions again are, what did I focus on or pay attention to today? What's my clarity, my aha, my takeaway from today? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action? Who wants to check out first? Go, Rebby.
Yeah, so I think the topic for the month and what we're discussing is really, I think it's really important. The aha moment was, or rather the realization was that the ratio you were saying of 6 to 8 positive things versus 1 negative thing, I think I might have been doing the opposite. So... you know, I think I really need to change, and, you know, that's what I'll be focusing on over the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
So,
will you
check
yourself a little bit?
Yeah,
take
notice
when you say positive?
Yeah, okay. I think that would be a realistic thing for me to, like an action step for me to try. Maybe, you know, I also try and space it out with each of the kids at least once in the morning and then maybe 2-3 times in the evening at different times. So yeah. I think that's something for me to do.
Okay, awesome. And I think you'll find that you're actually more positive than you think you are. That's my guess.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, thanks, Raghu. Who wants to go next? Rosie or Maria?
I'll go next. It's Rosie.
Okay. Go for it.
So my aha from today is maybe sending her a text rather than talking to her. And I focused on writing down what she's doing well. So, like, I focused on things that I wouldn't have thought about, like she is getting up independently for the past 3 days. And so a realistic action step for me to take is to focus on effort and partially done tasks. And I'm
awesome.
Going to set reminders on my phone to remind me to do that at certain points of the day. Just
that
to kind of cue myself.
That very well. Yeah. Excellent. Very well done. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Maria or Townley or Julie?
I think. Oh, go ahead, Julie.
So I
heard
love
you first, Julie.
I love everything everyone's saying, and I'll take all those and try those too. But I really appreciate that reminder about staying in the moment, because I think when I'm not catastrophizing down the road, then all of this comes so much easier, and I can find the good, and I can just
function,
find the good. Like that's so much. So.
So how in the moment are you going to remind yourself to find the good? And
well, it's by being
yourself
in the moment. It's more.
Okay.
It's not as much even about finding the good, although I like that. But it's trying to catch myself when I'm catastrophizing and bringing myself back to the present.
Okay.
And so through breaths, deep breaths, and just kind of noticing when I get the tightening and the panic, and just taking a breath and looking around and just. Trying to notice the things that are right here, right now, and kind of stop the spinning in my brain.
Awesome. Because everything's a habit, right? I mean, the more you focus on stopping in that moment and being fully present, the easier it'll be. And then it'll just be second nature after a while. So cool. I love that.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Maria or Tammy?
I think I didn't really... get more about helping my son more be unstuck, which was what I was taking aim at, but I didn't really come with a focus. So I don't know that I picked the right thing, but
I
was
no
really,
wrong thing to pick.
Right. But I guess, you know, it's not really where the conversation was going, which was fine, but it was nice for me because this was my first call. I think, you know, other people have said this too. It's definitely very helpful to hear, even if our kids aren't all the same, that there's that feeling like other people get it, you know, so that was really mm-hmm. helpful for me today, because this is the first opportunity I've had to have that. So, yeah, you know, we're not alone. Like you said, that was a real helpful thing for me.
Okay. And if you want to email me later, we can kick around some thoughts and some possibilities in terms of getting unstuck.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Real quick, what is your email address?
Yeah, it's Jeremy, and it's spelled just like the boy's name, Jeremy, at impactadhd.com.
At impactadhd.com. Okay. All right.
You got it. Yeah.
Sure. Can we email you, Jeremy?
Yeah, sure. Of course.
Okay.
Anytime. Jeremy, just like the boy's name, at impactadhd.com. All right, one more checkout, or two. Who's left? Maria, just you?
Yes, yes. So my takeaway is, or my clarity for today would be a lot of what everybody else was saying, but just continue to focus on the effort and move her to a point of, I don't know how great I think she's doing, but that we need to wind down at a decent hour. And my action step's going to be getting those, looking into parental controls on her phone and checking it out in settings and deciding on a time. Because the 9 o'clock when you were, when somebody was talking about a 9 or 9:15 shut off, that would be fabulous. But that doesn't work for us because of...
Probably not realistic for a 16-year-old.
It's not realistic at all, especially with... just her extracurricular schedule. So we won't go into that.
Sure.
But, you know,
and that's
just
not, you know, that's a plan for everyone. That was just an example.
Yeah. Yeah. But that would be, to me, ideal bedtime, you know, wind down. I was like, oh
yeah.
My gosh, I would love that.
I'd like to be in bed at that time.
Yeah. I want to go to bed at night.
Keeping her focused on, what, you know, like what she needs to do and making her not have that time. So maybe she'll get those non-things, electronic things knocked out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, doing the electronic things first and then doing the non-electronic things afterwards when she's maybe doesn't have it. We'll have to rinse and repeat maybe, but for sure.
Okay.
Moving in that direction.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for being here tonight and for being open and vulnerable and willing to share. And I think it was a great call. So I'm looking forward to talking to everybody in a couple weeks. And, again, if you have questions, just email me. But thanks for being here and hang in there. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thank you, Brad.